Well, thank you for coming to the website. This is January the 8th, 2014, and we continue with Offended.
And we do that. Sinners do it. Saints do it. God bless them sometimes. When you misrepresent the God of salvation, saints, you better pay attention to me. Anytime you go out and you misrepresent God, you're offensive, he is offended, and you'd better get that situation right. Where you sit right now, every believer ought to be saying, Lord, I am sorry. I didn't know. Why don't you ask yourself these questions? How far can I go with the person? What can I do that he might want to see Christ? Why can't I go have dinner with him? Why can't I go over there and help cut his lawn? Why can't I go over there? You know, my wife corrected me. I had some words with my neighbor one day a few months ago. I mean, some heated words. The brother really got next to me. And my wife told me, she says, John, you're not right now. Come on. The Bible says that you ought to love everybody. I told Lucy, I said, well, I love him, but I don't want to have nothing to do with him. He rubs me the wrong way, and I just can't stand him, all right?
Now, I know exactly who that neighbor is, because that neighbor lives right across the street from me, and he irritates me even to this day. We spoke. We even said Happy New Year and everything. But when my wife was alive, she had sense enough to tell me, you know, you got something against him, because he was very good friends with her. And that offended me. But I made my excuses, and I had to get my act right. So, you know, we all need to get our acts right, too.
This morning, my wife had to call me away, because before I went to church, I'm over there talking with him.
Yep.
I'm over there talking with him.
Yep.
And he said, well, you know, we had our differences. And I said, oh, brother, don't worry about that. You know, we all just lose it sometimes. See, I was offensive to God. It took my wife to correct the pastor. See? But some of us, when we corrected by others, we persecute them by saying, stay out of it. It's none of your business.
Yep.
I can go with who I want to go with. I take my chances. And anyhow, I know what you do. See what I mean, saint? Saint, there it is. I know what you're doing. You can't tell me nothing. What about that? What about that dude? What about that lady? Huh? Holy roller? You can't do nothing but look at the silliness. You're offensive to God. When my walk, when my manner of living is unsuitable for the professing Christian, that's the area that I got to guard against. When the way I live is unsuitable in God's sight. Sinner, listen to me. One thing again, sinner, all you got to do is say yes to Jesus. Saint, you've got to say yay, 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 yay. Because you see, you know too much now. You say, you're accountable, you're responsible. God wants you to get out there and spread what I'm telling you. How can you when you're failing him by offending him? Thirdly, in this sermon, what is the meaning of the double woe pronounced in verse 7? Look at verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs that offensive come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. A double woe, Jesus says. Oh, double woe on you. We would call it today, youngsters, a double whammy. That's what Jesus just put out.
I like that.
A double whammy. What is the meaning of this double woe pronounced in this verse? First of all, we have to understand that Jesus is saying to his apostles that many will be seduced by these offenses.
And I have to agree with that, because from 1987, when this message was firstly preached, up until 2014, this offense is seen in the way that people respond to the Word of God. Because in America today, most people are not responding appropriately to the Word of God. They did not respond in a way that God would be pleased with it. This is why we're having all these strange weather patterns and all of this kind of... I mean, it was beautifully sunny when I started off this morning, only to really see the weather cloud up. It looks like storm clouds are coming in. Our weather patterns have been so helter-skelter. Well, what else?
I want you to recognize that. Many people are going to be seduced by offensive behavior.
Yeah.
When I see preachers that are offensive to God, and then they go before their congregations and spread this mess on, their whole church is seduced by that offense.
And with these Preachers of LA series that's coming on cablevision and everything, do you think that those people And those churches are going to be redeemed. And don't come to me with this evangelical answer. Crazy kind of an evangelical answer. Everybody may not be right, but, you know, God's not going to judge us because of our ignorance. In time, he'll give us time. No, God is not some big, long, bearded granddaddy that's going to let the grandchild off of the hook. Mm-mm.
That's why Jesus gives a double woe here.
That's right.
Jesus says, I'm not playing.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, 1987, what most of us think. Most of us think, oh, Jesus ain't coming back.
And if they were thinking that in 1987, what do you think they're thinking in 2014?
He ain't coming back. I mean, you know, he's just a psychological thing that you need when things don't go right, huh? Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. You see, we know how that works too, don't we?
A double woe here.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about this a little bit. The man that offends or frustrates the power and design of God, first of all. But woe unto the world because of offenses. So he says, woe unto you sinners because of your offenses, for it needs be come because of your nature. But look at the second part. But woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Now, when we speak of Christians, we says that Christian that offends, just like the sinner, you are frustrating God's redemptive work on the planet. That's serious. Oh, John, I didn't mean it.
When you frustrate God's redemptive work on the planet, and God is a jealous God, and everything that God wants, and I'm talking about the essence and the nature of the divine. Now, if you are inclined to not be one of those persons that believe in divine entities, then this discussion about God is irrelevant altogether. There are some African Americans in my community that would say to me, and I think I've told you the story before. I was working at a particular college, and the head of the college summer department kind of like had some of the staff there, and they pointed out that I believed in Jesus, and they all got a good laugh out of that, and it didn't offend me. But I've been laughed at for so long. My middle name is John Laughable Coleman, right?
I didn't mean it. I mean, I lost my temper.
Yeah.
Did you go back and apologize? John, I didn't mean it. All right. You know that the checker gave you too much money back, right? And she has to pay for it. I use this example often. When the checker gives you too much money and at the end of the duty day at the market, guess who has to pay for the overdrawn out of there? Checker does. And you know she gave you $25 more than you should have gotten. You said, oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost has blessed me today. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Wait a minute. That checker has to balance her books.
Right.
At the end of the day. And when she goes back and they say, yeah, Miss Sally, you got this and that, but you $25 short. You know what you have to do, Christian? Go right back to the store after the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit is convicting you before you left the stand. But you put a lie on the Holy Ghost and say that God has blessed you. God hasn't blessed you. He was testing you. You failed the test, dummy. Go back and give the $25 back. And so, by the way, you gave me $25 more. See? But then you say, oh, he blessed me. Then you get out there and somebody runs into your car with no insurance, and all you got is liability, and God takes $2,500 from you. See, you took $25. Now I just took $2,500. And all you had to do was give it back, and the Lord might have blessed you with a better car than that.
Now, that illustration just popped up to the top of my head, and I had to bring that illustration and put it on the table. And doesn't that make sense today in 2014? But since we've mystified God and made it all some kind of pragmatic mental subjectivism that we go through, like some kind of ethical dilemma, then God is not really real, and we can play him off as a cosmic cowboy. That's what the church has done today. Thank you.
But you see what I mean? We are offensive to God.
Yes, and that's the theme, preacher. That theme is ever before you. It's ever present. We're offensive to God by using that kind of behavior.
That's what we, listen, there's a double woe pronounced here.
Yep.
Listen, when you frustrate the power and design of God, that means you become like a God yourself.
Yes.
You become Lucifer's handiwork.
Yes.
What are you saying, John? Are you trying to say that religious people can become a tool of the devil? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Religious people, not Christians. It's impossible for a Christian to become a tool of the devil. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. So it would be a total contradiction for me to live like that repeatedly and say that he dwells in me. And the world is looking at that thing saying, I don't want no kind of God in me like that. You're the biggest joke in town. You're offensive to God. I'm telling you. Tells me in Luke 19:10 that salvation is hindered by some because Jesus Christ said in Luke 19:10, he said something. He said something very, very important. And some of you know what he says, but I like you to use your Bibles here. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. How can he seek and save them if you are seeking them and offending him? He's not going to save anybody that's God's character is being offended. Stop doing that, saint. Stop doing it. Repent right now. And if you're a sinner, if you don't stop, hell is your eternal habitation. That man in offending God renders himself guilty of all the crimes that he's leading everybody else to commit. The man or the woman that hinders God's purpose is saying, I am just as guilty as you are, brother. So I don't give a darn, and I don't want you to give a darn, and we'll all take our chances in hell if it takes place. You're offensive to God. As sure as I'm standing right here, and as sure as the sun rolled around and came up, hell is a real place of damnation and punishment for those that offend. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here preaching it. If I didn't believe it, I'd tear this paper out of the Bible and tear it up and say, do you folks believe that? And throw it up and I say, live any kind of way you want to. There is nothing after life. No better than that. Lastly, when we look at this particular term here, what is the meaning of the double woe pronounced in verse 7 by our Lord? Because it is impossible in some cases for after you offend somebody and mess them up, to go back and straighten them out. Let me give you a classical example. There was a Christian lady that was putting out bum scoop on another Christian lady in the church. Terrible. She lied on this sister bad. I mean, lied on the sister so bad that the sister had to leave town. I mean, it was a shame. The Holy Spirit convicted the lady that lied, and the lady finally called the pastor and said, oh, pastor, I did a great sin. She told her pastor what she had done. And she says, I want to correct this situation. I mean, what can I do? Some of you have heard the example, but I think it's a classical one in this sense. Pastor was at the dear lady's house sitting on the porch, and he took a pillow that was ripped, and he took the feathers and threw the feathers up in the air. It was a gusty wind blowing, and the feathers blew everywhere. And the pastor said to the lady, go and bring me every feather that blew away. It's impossible, Pastor. Big gust of wind blowing. I mean, whoosh, they're gone. I can't recover them. That's what happens when you offend somebody. It's serious. Some of this mess will never be recovered. Sinners, some of the deeds that you're doing, some of the things that you're doing with your lives, you will never be the same again. Now, I'm going to tell you what I hate about dope. It works primarily on your brain, which controls the way you think. Brain is a computer. A garbage in, garbage out. Good stuff in, good stuff stay, I hope. All right? It's a computer. Every time you mess with stuff like that, the devil is saying the first thing I want to do is to destroy their minds and so that they won't be able to listen to this scripture. Let this same mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus.
Now, when you look at the children and you see what that stuff has done to them and it's done to their minds, and I said that you have basically an entire population that is smoking. What is it? Colorado here, a couple of days ago, just legalized marijuana. The first state in the union to legalize marijuana. California's right on the ballot there. And you know, some of you that know me know that I don't have anything against the legal use of medical cannabis, because for patients, for people that are really ill, that needs that, when it's regulated by the government and everything, that is good. It is, that herbal medicine is better than taking these pills that the pharmaceutical associations are charging you with. Now, you may differ with me. You can differ all you want to. There's nothing sinful about medical cannabis when used properly. Just like there's nothing wrong with, you know, since we're talking about practical things in 2014, the basketball player went over there to China, right? No, to Korea. And everybody's trying to make out that this, that these 9 or 10 basketball players have done something drastically wrong because they've gone to North Korea to play a couple of, no, they haven't. You don't have to jump on everybody's bandwagon. This isn't about getting on the bandwagon. Sin is a lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of that creature to be related to God through faith in that issue.
See, you can't have the mind of Christ when you have the mind of Coke.
Right.
Because all Coke is going to get you to say is you want more, you need more, you need more, you need more.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And if you're not into that, you're into sex.
Yep.
You know, the Bible says that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled.
Right.
Meaning that between married couples, God sanctifies the bed. Some of us is out here just having sex, jumping in bed with everybody. My God, there's a plague going on called AIDS, killing folks. The devil got you so blindfolded, you say, kill me, Satan, but give me the pleasure before I die.
Right.
You're not even thinking about it. You see how blindfolded you are. And you're offending God because he made your body to be a holy vessel for him. Holy for one person.
Amen.
One person. That man or that woman that God wants you to be with. Nobody else ever. We offend God. Hey, preachers offend God more than. Now, you sinners, listen to me. I'm going to say it like it is. Preachers offend God more than ungodly men. They're out there chasing women more than the sinners are. And then we'll get behind the pulpit and try to preach like this. Keep your eyes on those rascals. Watch them close. Watch them close. Watch me close. Amen. Because you see, if you're watching me, I know the Heavenly Father's watching me. That makes me feel good.
Ah, see, a preacher should never be afraid of who's watching him and who's checking up on him and who's spying on him. So you go ahead and do all the watching, the checking, and the spying. But remember, be sure your sin will find you out. And I know that mine will find me out. As a matter of fact, I want mine to find me. Because, see, I like this gospel, this good news so much that I'm not trying to hide from anyone. As a matter of fact, I tell my very close and dear friends who I really am. And then I look them in the eyes and say, can you really remain my very close and dear friends? Ha.
Pastor, I got my eyes on you.
Yeah,
and I
you.
Say, uh-huh, me too. I'm watching you right back. I'm looking dead at you. I'm looking dead at you. Yes, I am. So you can't straighten out something that's been made crooked. Let's go into number four. Fourthly, so what do we understand offenses to be? We've got to be practical about this, and now we use our Bibles. What are offenses? The Bible says that they are stumbling blocks in the way that leads from heaven. They are stumbling blocks in a way that lead to heaven. An offense is any kind of a blockage that would hinder somebody from getting to heaven. And an offense is any kind of block that is purposely put there to help you not to get to heaven.
Boy, I'm glad that I did it that way so many years ago. And it's so refreshing to be able to listen to that explanation today. Because it makes all the sense in the world. Now listen to how I define it and or describe it.
Now there's only one person that doesn't want anybody to get to heaven, and that's the devil.
And that is so true. Because you see, if you really understand theologically the battle that is consisting between the good God, Jehovah, of the universe, and Beelzebub, Satan. It's like me watching a monster picture. I like that. Oh, I was talking about it the other day. VHS 1 and VHS 2. Horrible stuff. It messed with my spirit. That's satanic. I don't want to be around that. And even watching it as entertainment frustrated my spirit. That's what,
because we're all born in his kingdom, and he wants to keep you wrapped up, tied up, and locked up in his kingdom.
Yeah, see, because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Don't think that because you were born that you were this puritanical human being. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ as Lord. I'll never forget Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23.
So let's look at this and see whether I've told the truth.
Okay.
And I pray that I have. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Turn there with me. Romans 14. If you do not use your Bibles, all you coming to hear me, I just want to come in here to preach and preach me happy. I want you to come and study God's word. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. And then stay in that chapter, and then we're going to look at verse 28. Look at verse 13. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
I'm going to define that verse. And I've read that verse many times, and I've taught this verse many times. So it's going to be interesting for me here in 2014 to listen to this definition again.
Hey, Pastor John, I didn't know that was there. It's there. It's been there for 2,000 years.
Yep.
But man, I've been doing that in church. Cut it out. Jesus says it's better to enter into heaven with one eye than enter in two by putting stumbling blocks in your brother's way. Oh, but John, but I didn't know. You know now what you're going to do. Well, you making me angry. Repent and be happy. Going down to another verse. Verse 28, same chapter. No, I'm sorry, not verse 28. Wrong scripture. I don't want to take you there. I want to tell you something. Let me pause and just say this right here. If you didn't know it was there and you know it's there now, what are you going to do about it?
Yes.
First thing that you need to do is to repent. You should repent about the situation and not allow the situation to go on and on. And of course, when we speak of Romans chapter 14, Paul is trying to say, because it was a controversy started in the church. Well, these Christians are buying meat from this pagan temple, and they're eating it, and we don't think that they should eat that meat, and because that meat was offered to idol gods. And so Paul was saying, listen, if eating meat causes your brother to stumble, don't eat that meat. But, if you can get the meat at a discount and you want to eat the meat and your brother's not around, mm-hmm. pig out.
Right.
Now, some of my Christian contemporaries tell me, it also says drink in those verses there, John. So does that mean that I can take a little nip of the bottle?
Now, my view has changed about indulging of alcohol since I preached this. Trust me. Remember, I came up in the Baptist church, and my mentor did not believe in any kind of drinking of alcoholic beverages. That is not my opinion. So I just wanted to state that before you listen to the statement. Here we go.
Then, as long as my brother doesn't know about it, I says, why would you, first of all, try to hide it from your brother if you didn't think it was sin? See what I mean?
Right.
Why don't you ask your brother, does drinking offend you? No, but we don't ask him that. We go by the biblical mandate. I'll drink outside of my brother's presence. Drink in my presence. And then say, praise the Lord. Why do you hide it? Hide it because you know what God's mandate is. Proverbs 20:1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a rage. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Oh, I didn't know that, Pastor. Well, now you know it. What you going to do about it?
And you have to define the verse within its context. Whomsoever is deceived by it. See, it didn't tell you not to have that glass of wine, but it says don't drink the whole bottle and be walking around here puking up your lungs. And, well, let me keep moving. I think we're intelligent enough to know what that means.
Well, Pastor, I don't see cocaine in the Bible. It says avoid the very appearance of evil.
And since you know what the evil is behind that stuff, you need to avoid that. That's all that is.
If it was, it would be legal. Jesus, they tell me it's $25 for a fingernail full of that junk. Jesus, I don't have money to throw away like that. A cheap thrill.
And knowing what that stuff does to the human mind and to the human psyche and to lives, my goodness.
Dying behind that. And every time, you listen to me, Senator, every time you mess with that, you causing somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people dying in South America and in this country because of that mess. That's it.
All over the world.
Let's continue. Let's go on. I want you to note something here. There are three kinds of stumbling blocks mentioned in the scripture. Let's quickly go to them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Go there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Different kinds of stumbling block are occasions to fall in the scriptures, and I want you to know this right now. Look what it says in verse 6. Wherefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he, meaning Jesus, is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, listen, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has been made the head of the corner. And a stone, Jesus, becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbleth at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. So one kind of stumbling is caused by Jesus himself. Because he's convicting some sinners right now. You know that you have offended me, and you say, Lord, I hate you because you have opened up my mind and you are causing me to stumble. Well, I'm telling you, you will stumble at the word of God and at the Lord Jesus Christ as long as you cease to be obedient to him.
Wow, that is a perfect definition of stumbling at what the Bible says. And that's how come I don't play with it. Whenever I see something that addresses my life, that addresses the sin in my life and things like that, I have to immediately come to the point where I say, you know what? Enough is enough.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Quickly turn there. And I'm reading kind of fast. You just mark these down in your programs. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. There's a second kind of stumbling. It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks a foolishness. Did you know that the preaching of Christ, even the gospel, is a stumbling block? Man, this stuff is so strong, it's causing me to think like I've never thought in my human life. I'm stumbling at it. Don't stumble at it. Take it and let it lift you up. That was 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 23. Now Luke 24, 21.
I want you to note what I'm doing also. I'm bathing it with scripture. Now keep it in mind that when you go to God is Offended Part 1, I was cutting in and out of it, but that was about, 45 minutes. And look at me. Here I am on this side of it. I'm 29 minutes into this, the same sermon, the same Sunday morning. No one got up to leave the room. And I'm telling you, if American churches required this kind of preaching back in 1987, what in the heck do you think is required today? And most people cannot sit in a room and listen to an expository lecture for more than 30 minutes without going brain dead if they're not entertained by, an Xbox 400 or something, or watching a stupid football or NBA game. And, there were always a few people that said to me, you preach too long. Say it quicker. You can say it quicker. You have to define, explain it. That's why I'm glad most of you got these iPhones and everything where you can listen to this. You can, once you listen to enough of it, put it on pause, come back and listen to it again. You can come back to the website. That's why I pay for this website to stay up. I pay almost $200 a month. I got more sound bites on my website than to any African-American preacher in this country, because I'm trying to get you to see this thing about God.
Scripture in this series, Luke 24, 21. I want you to know what the word of God says about stumbling.
Preach.
So that when you stumble, you can stop doing that.
There you go.
And here Luke gives the account of those blessed two brothers leaving Jerusalem after the crucifixion, and the two on the road to Emmaus. Look at verse 21.
Go ahead.
They said to Christ, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Why did I have that there? The death of Christ on Calvary was even a stumbling block to these men.
That's right. I was going to say, to these men, because...
didn't believe.
Yes.
So if you can even use the word of God, the scriptures, and find something in the book that can make you stumble.
Right.
If you don't take it by faith.
Right.
Lastly, then we're finished. Therefore, having heard all that I've said, therefore, what has the preaching of this message wrought in you?
Now, before I come to the conclusion of that, and we can end up this, God is offended part one and part two, you got to answer that question for yourself. You can see to hear this and say, oh, yeah, John's all right. I like him. Yeah, he's still preaching the truth. Yeah, John is still saying, forget me. Forget that I even exist. Please, at the time that you're listening to this, I may be long dead. Because I don't know when some of you are going to hear this. And God is just putting the tension and the pressure on me to put this up in 2014 because of what I said in the other one, The Man Called to Proclaim. I believe that time is wrapping up real quick here. And so I feel this unction to put these things up. That's why I'm going to the archives, to the stacks, if you will. And let me tell you something. I am weekly throwing out of my library and my study in the trash all of this sermonic stuff that I put together, because this is played on a cassette tape. I have a Sony TCM-59V cassette recorder in my hand, the one that we were using when we went to these false churches to get interviews. And so I'm using that, piping it in my system, trying to put it up on the website, because I feel this necessity to do that. So listen to this.
Some of you would say, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing, preacher.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've stumbled. Leave me alone.
Right.
I'm happy stumbling.
Yep.
I love my life.
Yep.
And I don't need you or nobody else or this God that's invisible to tell me anything. That's what your message has wrought.
Yep.
Nothing.
Go ahead.
I don't believe that.
Go ahead.
I don't believe that because you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Sinner, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you are here, this is because there's something in your nature letting you know there is a better way.
Now, I'll put it this way, because I was talking about if you're here with the people that were sitting in the room in front of me. But I'm saying, you've come to my website. You're listening to this. You are here. So don't talk to me like that. Because if you've listened thus far to part one, and you this deep into part two, keep listening.
So I don't believe anybody in this room can say honestly nothing. Or they get up and walk out and says, I will never come back again.
Right.
Then I'd believe it.
Right.
But since you haven't done that, I don't believe that at all.
Yep.
There's another response to that. You say, well, a little bit, preacher. You see, because I've reviewed other people's lives and I've seen stumbling in their lives. Nope. You missed it.
Hmm.
This wasn't a message to have you look at somebody else.
Yep.
See, that's what a lot of people do in church. Yes, I know somebody like that. Do you now? Yeah, I know that sister. You know, she always making people. Do you now? Really? Look closer than that.
Yeah, look real close.
Oh, no, pastor, not me. Watch this, Brother Moen. I'm chairman of the trustee board.
Uh-huh. And he was. The last conversation that I had with him was negative. But that's all right.
Oh, no, not me, pastor. I sung the solo today. I ministered in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah.
Women would fuss with each other in the choir who would be the last person to sing the solo before the pastor brought the message. Can you believe that? Viral hatred coming from hearts draped in choir robes.
Hey, not me.
Oh, yeah.
Not me. I'm a dynamic youth director.
Oh, my. Didn't we have a bunch of those in the vet? Clamoring for a position, but couldn't tell the youngsters to keep their panties in their pants on.
I never cause a youth to stumble. No.
What?
Remember what you said when you were picking up the youth and you drove and you said that? Oh, I didn't think about that. That's little. Hey, listen. Little or large? What has this message done to you? There's another response. I'm convicted. Good. If that response is I'm convicted, good. If you saved, God loves you, he's going to love you more. Good. That's what preaching's all about. See, a lot of people think they come to church, come on, preacher, preach me. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how much heaven I'm going to. Yeah, I'm going to tell you how good you are when you say that this message was good for you. Lord, I learned something that I have offended some, and from this moment, I'm going to stop offending anyone. I want you to forgive me of that great offense, and I want to live for you from this moment for the rest of my life, and so that my life might be a witness for man that needs you. That's what you have to say. And you feel that way because you've harmed somebody. You've admitted that you have offended somebody because you have been causing offense. You stand and you say, Lord, I repent, I'm guilty. One more scripture, I promise you. 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. One more scripture. You've got to go there. 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. I'll read it. I have it right now. Here it is. Listen what it says.
Listen.
But take heed.
Listen.
Lest by any means this liberty, this Christian life, this you being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak.
That aspect of this message is for me. Because for them that are weak and them that do not have the substance that I have, I sometimes find myself taking liberty in doing that. And at the same time, I can spiritually be causing that person to become lessened in some way. And there's where the caution for me comes in. Because in every sermon, I don't care whether you, the pastor, the bishop, the lay person, the usher, the whatever you are, there is a certain part of the message specifically for you that you are to pick up.
Paul says to the church, don't you take your profession in Christ as being tied up, sold up, everything's all right. I'm saved. Everything I do is all right. Paul says you'd better watch out because that liberty will cause somebody that's weak to stumble. Therefore, we are obligated to even look out at that weak person and say, what must I drop off to win this person?
Yep.
There you know is. What it may take, believer? Listen. When you meet somebody that's on substance abuse,
listen,
you've got to tell them the truth. I too was on substance abuse.
There you go.
When you meet a young lady that's a little loose with her sexual promiscuity, ladies,
listen,
Christian ladies,
listen,
holy rollers,
yeah,
you did some sanctified women ain't never did nothing wrong in your entire life. You've got to say, me too, sweetheart. I was very loose in my conduct. All you macho men and everything to talk about, oh, I hate homosexuals, gayness and everything. You too have got to go back to that experience
That's right. You
had when you was a young boy,
yeah,
with another boy and say, yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, we
you
do.
See?
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't do that.
Yeah.
We won't do that.
Yeah.
And you offend God.
Yeah.
Because you won't do that.
Yeah.
But yet, you're holy.
Mm-hmm.
And no sinner wants to hear about anybody that's been saved all their life.
See, did you hear that statement in back in 1987? No sinner wants to hear about somebody that's been saved all their life. Dr. John MacArthur of Grace Community Church, in his personal testimony, makes that statement. I made that statement that you just heard in 1987, my friend. And it was just a few years ago that I came out and said there's something wrong with the statement that John MacArthur said. And all them people that have been lessened by God being offended by that statement. You see what I'm talking about? Do you see how serious this ministry is that God has placed me in? And that's like I'm in my house and I'm in a little corner in my room and I'll never get another church and people will never listen to me because they don't want to hear this. And they have been deceived by people that have become millionaires for the sake of the gospel. Can you believe that? Continue to listen.
I don't know the creature. I don't know one that exists. I don't know of anybody that's been saved all their life.
But John MacArthur said that he did, right?
No, they don't exist.
They don't exist. And that's why. That's why I do what I do. All right.
But take heed. By any means, lest this liberty of yours be a stumbling block.
Right.
To them that are weak. Yes. Don't you assume righteousness because of your profession.
Right, right.
Don't you assume that.
Right.
Sinner, listen to me. Don't disregard this message today. Don't disregard the message, sinner. Listen, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, these are some hard words from our Lord, aren't they? What is the Bible all about, John? I'm going to tell you exactly what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about messages like this, because God loves you and he has a marvelous plan for your life. And if you have been offending him, and if you have offended, that thing can be made right now where you sit, as you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a Christian. It's invitation time. But before we have music, I want to just talk with you a couple of minutes. Now listen to me. You will never get to heaven unless you say to God, I have offended you, Lord. I have hurt others. I have hindered in my life others coming to know you. That's what we Christians have to say, the double woe. We Christians have offended, and the non-Christian also has offended. How about letting the Lord have your life and let him turn your whole life around? How about letting him have your life and so that you will not be offensive to him and offensive to others? And in doing so, you become what the Bible calls believer. You become a Christian. You become one who begins to love this place, love this gospel. I'm giving you an opportunity to come right now. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, come on up here, and by making a formal show of who you've accepted, get up out of that seat and come down here and says, I've taken him as Lord and Savior, and I want him to be in my life for the rest of my life. Right now, we give you an opportunity to come. We give you an opportunity to show these people in this room, I've made a decision to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to offend anymore. We give you an opportunity to do that. This is your greatest chance in your life to say to the Lord that I will not offend anymore, that I do not want to offend. Will you come to Christ right now? Will you come to Christ? Will you say by your coming that you have chosen to be Christian? It shows that your mind is made up. It shows that you have allowed the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Will you do it? Now's your opportunity. Now's your chance. You will never have another chance like this. I think that there's so much conviction in this room right now that the conviction in your heart, you know you need to do it. But guess what the devil is doing? The devil is saying, don't do it. You can't live it. You're not ready for that kind of commitment. You're not ready for that kind of lifestyle because you know you're going to offend again. I'm telling you this. If you offend God after you come to him through salvation, you won't offend him many more times after that, because he will empower you to live in such a way that your life will become a testimony of his grace. God cares. Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.
Boy, what a message. I had completely forgotten that I...
Yes, sir.
I had completely forgotten that I was still mic'd up. And
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you today. We thank you for the preached word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We also, Lord, thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart, that allows us to understand that though we have offended you, that we can always take the opportunity to turn that offense into righteousness and joy. Bless these that are here. Bless us that have made up in our minds that we will cease to offend you as Christians. And bless those that continuously refuse to take you as Lord. Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Thank you for joining with me, listening to this archival. What a powerful, powerful, almost 2 hours on this one. You know, I have to stay in the archives. That's what I have to do. And even though I got this pinched nerve in my right hand and it's been bugging me through all this time, that's all right. Let it bug me. I enjoy the pain as I endure it and do this that God has called me to do. Thank you for coming to the website today and listening wholeheartedly to these wonderful words. If you have any questions about this message and how you can, your life can be embedded by it, get in contact with me. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. Spend enough time talking. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.